Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Zach? I don't know. Pigeons? Oh boy!
Every day I sit right there, sit and stare and check my Facebook, email, Instagram, chatting with my friends and making plans. But on days with lots of sun, I say goodbye to everyone online and say hello. There's a place where all bees are always buzzing about the flowers they have seen. Every tree is trending. I don't miss my little screen because I won't need a filter and the birds tweet just to say you should really take a walk on this lovely sunny day.
La, 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 la.
In the park I reconnect, take some time to self-reflect.
Yo, this Snapchat's gonna be great.
No, hashtag selfie, put that thing away.
The pigeons make it feel like home. Follow me and we can roam across the grass and sea.
Now we're running faster than 4G.
On the playground, there's a million games to play. We don't need a fancy tablet with a retina display.
Whoa, these graphics are amazing!
Huh.
Skies don't need a weather app to tell you that.
Subscription to this cloud is free.
Bees are always buzzing about the flowers they have seen. Every tree is trending. I don't miss my little screen because sky won't need a filter and the birds tweet just to say you should really take a walk on this lovely sunny day.
Are my favorite followers.
Aww. I appreciate Zach and Bert helping us remember that we're in the middle of a series on technology we're calling Connected 3D. Last week we started a series over how to honor God with our technology. And one of our friends from Lake Point Church, Jared Hurd, their teaching pastor, he had some insightful ideas and words on this subject of being connected via technology and how it affects our lives. Now, the world in which we live is more technologically connected than ever before. And that has cause and effect relationships with us as human beings in some profound ways. I mean, it seems like there's always a ring or a buzz going off in our pocket or in our purse. And we live in a world where although it is easy to be connected all the time, it's also very easy to become distracted all the time if we don't have some boundaries in our lives. We talked last week about how the only difference between a river and a swamp is that one has boundaries. The river has boundaries that lead somewhere. The flow of the water is going somewhere in life. It's living water. When we hear about living water, read about living water in the Bible, that's talking about water that's on the move, and a river is living water. It's on the move. It's got life in it. And the other, the swamp, It doesn't have any boundaries. It just kind of spreads itself thin, but it's not really going anywhere. And in reality, most swamps have things in it that are, well, they cause death more than bring life. And so we've just talked about that metaphor. Are you a river that has boundaries, that's going somewhere? Or is your life more like a relational swamp? It's not really going anywhere, kind of spread out, doesn't seem to have a whole lot of life in it. If we're not careful and we're not intentional, we quickly can become relational swamps who may be spread thin with followers and friends on our devices of social media, but we really don't have those deep, meaningful, life-giving relationships that are going somewhere. Are you a river or are you a swamp when it comes to your technology? Do you have some boundaries or are you just spread thin? I mean, it's easy to go to dinner with your family or your friends and never talk to anyone around the table because we're talking with someone else who's not even in the room through our technology. I mean, we live in a day when we don't really know how to look people in the eye over a meal because we've become so addicted to looking into a screen. That's not healthy. We need some boundaries. I read a memorable article a couple of months ago by Dr. Jim Dennison. It was called 94% Have Nomophobia. Do you? In the article, Dr. Dennison talks about how so many people today have fears that are linked to their phones. Nomophobia, it's a long word, kind of a funny sounding word. Nomophobia is the fear of being out of mobile phone contact. The psychological term abbreviates no mobile phone phobia. Nomophobia. Do you have nomophobia? Maybe you don't have nomophobia. Maybe you have cell phone loss anxiety. Cell phone loss anxiety is a related term for those who lose their mobile phones. Is that you? Well, such diagnoses are more needed today than ever. According to Psychology Today, a report that they did, they asked people how they felt after misplacing their phone, their cell phone, and did you know 73% said that they panicked? 14% said that they became desperate. And check this out, 7% of people, when asked how they felt when they lost their cell phone, said they became physically sick. Is that you? Man, I hope that's not you. If it is, you've got cell phone loss anxiety. I saw where the founder of an online dating website observed that people in the 21st century are alone. He said, we have so many new ways of communicating and connecting, yet we are so alone. I'm not really sure being alone is a bad thing, though. I mean, listen to what one expert notes. They say, it's a great psychological truth that if we don't teach our children how to be alone, they will always be lonely. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. We all need to be okay with being alone in some times. But being lonely, that's something different. I mean, what I hear this expert suggesting is that we need some boundaries in our lives when it comes to our technology. We need to be intentional about how we are developing real, authentic relationships and how we are functioning in such a connected world. We said last week that in looking at the life of Jesus through the Gospel of Luke, we began to see that Jesus goes deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer. And we see this as a normal rhythm of Jesus' life. He's actually choosing, check this out, he's actually choosing to be alone with his heavenly Father. Now, why does he do that? It's so he can power up his soul. Remember, Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. And so his soul would get depleted just like yours would, just like mine would. And so he would carve out time away to be alone with his heavenly Father, to power up his soul, to recalibrate, reorient his soul. In a very real sense, what we see happening is Jesus disconnects to connect. And we, as followers of Jesus, must follow his example, and we too must disconnect at times so that we can connect our life, our soul, our heart, and our mind with God. The question was asked, how would Jesus have handled a cell phone? I love that picture of Jesus holding a cell phone. Maybe that's not how you would have pictured Jesus, but what if he did have a cell phone? I don't think he ever would have asked Siri a question. Think about it. He already knew the answer. He probably wouldn't have used Google much. Same reason. But I think that we can find a clue of how Jesus would have handled a cell phone if he had a cell phone as we look through the pages of the Bible. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Last week we were in the Gospel of Luke. This week we'll be in the Gospel of Mark starting out. Let's look at a clue for how Jesus might have handled a cell phone. We'll start right there in chapter 1. It's on page 836 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, I would love to give you a Bible at the conclusion of our time today. Right through those doors is a pastor's coffee. I host a real informal coffee each week. I'd love the opportunity to say hello to you and give you a Bible just like the one that's in the row in front of you. So if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, come say hello to me. I'd love to get to know you and put a name and a face together and just see how we can help you follow Jesus and answer any spiritual questions that you might have. So Mark chapter 1, have you found it yet? Okay, let me just kind of give you a little bit of context of what's going on here. Context is always a good thing to have when you're reading the Bible. And so the chapter of Mark 1 starts off with Jesus's cousin, John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus to begin what's known as his public ministry. That was the last 3 years of Jesus's life, age 30 to 33. And so John the Baptist, his cousin, baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. I've been in that river. I baptized people in that river. When I was in that river, it was very, very cold. And so I don't know if it was cold on that day, but it was on the day that I was baptizing there. So John baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. Jesus then leaves the water and he heads to the wilderness. It said the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he's going to be tested and tried and tempted out there by Satan before beginning that public ministry. When he comes back, he calls his first disciples to follow him. Then we see, reading on down in Mark 1, Jesus heals a man, and that turns into healing many people. See, when somebody starts healing, you go viral really quickly. And look what it says in verse 33. It says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. See that picture on the screen right there? That's the door where Jesus healed many. That is the door of Peter's house. It's found in Capernaum. Allison and I were there last month, and we took pictures there, and we marveled that right there at that door is where all of these healings took place. An amazing sight. An amazing sight. Kids, draw me a picture today. Actually, I want you to draw me two pictures. The first picture I want you to draw me is, what do you think it looked like when Jesus was healing all these people at Peter's house? draw me a picture of what you think it looked like. Were they waiting in line? Were they rejoicing? Were people wondering what was going on? Draw me a picture, one of two pictures. So that's the first one. I'll tell you the second picture in just a minute. But first off, start drawing me a picture of what you think it looked like when Jesus was healing people at Peter's house, right there in the doorway. And so Jesus, he's wrapping up this day. He's got a ton more followers and friends than he started the day with. It says the whole city gathered together at the door. They were wanting to be connected to Jesus. And then after large crowds gathered to meet our Lord, notice how he begins his next day. Now, as we look here, look for the clue to how Jesus would handle his cell phone. I mean, do you think he would pull up Twitter to see if he was trending from all of the healings that took place the day before? Do you think he would see how many notices that he received over the night, or if he had any more followers than when he went to bed? Do you think he's going to pull up Facebook to see if he's got any new friend requests in Capernaum? Do you think he's going to check email, see what's in his inbox? No, he doesn't start with any of those things. Look how verse 35 shows us that Jesus began his day. He begins the day by disconnecting to connect. It says in verse 35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed. And he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." He disconnected to connect with his heavenly Father. Kids, that's the second picture I want you to draw me this morning. You drew one picture with Jesus healing a whole bunch of people at Peter's house. Now draw me a second picture of Jesus getting alone by himself, praying. Maybe it was on the side of a hill or down by the sea. What do you think it looked like, kids, for Jesus to get alone and pray and just spend some quiet alone time, some quiet moments alone with God? Draw those two pictures, and when we're done today, put it on my board over here. I want to see what you think those scenes look like. Jesus disconnected to connect with his heavenly Father. He departed. He disconnected from his close friends, and he went to be alone. And he wasn't afraid to be alone. He did it intentionally. He disconnected so that he could connect and be alone with his Father. And the reason that Jesus disconnects to connect with his heavenly Father is because there are times, check this out, there are times that God waits to speak to you until you are alone with him and are disconnected from everything else that vies for your attention. Jesus had tons of people vying for his attention, and he wanted to hear from his heavenly Father. And so he disconnects so that he can go connect and listen intently through times of quiet prayer, solitude. And men and women, until we are alone with God in quiet moments of prayer, oftentimes God will choose to remain quiet in your life. Until we disconnect, God sometimes will choose to wait to speak to us. Has it been a while since you've heard God talk to you? If it has, it may be because it's been a while since you've disconnected. Jesus knew that if he was going to stay in tune with his heavenly Father, he had to disconnect to connect. He had to invest some quiet moments alone with his heavenly Father. Jesus knew this. He modeled this. Jesus went to be alone and to be quiet in prayer, to listen to God and to connect with his Father in heaven before, check this out, before he reconnected. He didn't just stay alone out on the mountain, down by the sea, out in the field, he always reconnected with everybody else who was wanting and waiting to follow him on that particular day. That's how I think Jesus would have handled a cell phone. I don't think he would have just thrown it in the sea. I think he would have just disconnected for a while. And then he would reconnect. Jesus knew that he must be much with God before he would be much for God. That's worth writing down. Jesus knew that he must be much with God before he would be much for God. Jesus would likely reach for time alone with God before he would ever reach first for his cell phone. Jesus would choose to disconnect to connect. How about you? How about me? That same is true for us. We must be much with God before we can be much for God. And check this out. Sometimes that can be a sacrifice. That feels like a sacrifice. Choosing to disconnect, choosing to wait to get online. And sometimes God waits until we choose to sacrifice and do the hard work to disconnect before he will connect with us and begin to speak to us in those quiet moments when we're alone with him. It's not just a New Testament thing. We see this in the Old Testament too. It's a principle that runs throughout the Bible. All the way back in the first book of the Bible in Genesis, in chapter 46, we read about an occurrence that a man named Jacob had. Jacob had a nickname. His nickname was Israel. If you're turning in the Bible, it's on page 39. Look how it starts off in Genesis 46, verses 1 and 2. I'll show you this principle of sacrifice happening before God speaks. It says in verse 1, Israel, talking about Jacob, Israel took his journey with all he had, and he came to Beersheba. That's down in the southern part of Israel. Maybe you've heard in the Bible, from Dan to Beersheba. Dan is not talking about Dan Lyles, as much as I love Dan Lyles. It's talking about the place Dan in the northern part of Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. It says, Israel took his journey with all he had and came to Beersheba. Look what he did. And he what? Offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And look what happened next. And God spoke. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night. First he offered sacrifices, then God chose to speak to him. God spoke to him. See, Israel, Jacob, learned something. He learned this principle that sacrifice precedes revelation. Sacrifice precedes revelation. When we're talking about revelation, we're not so much talking about the last book in the Bible. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. When we talk about sacrifice precedes revelation, we're not talking about the last book in the Bible. When we talk about revelation here, we're talking about God revealing himself, God revealing his direction, revealing his will, revealing his word. God still reveals his word to his people. He certainly reveals what he wants us to do through the written word of God, but sometimes he reveals himself through his Holy Spirit, through others in our lives that are following the Lord Jesus and speaking words into our lives. God reveals himself through circumstances in our lives. God reveals himself. God wants to speak to us. And oftentimes, it's sacrifice that precedes revelation. I must get alone with God. That's a sacrifice for some of us in our busy lives and our connected lives. And so we must choose to disconnect from our busy lives, our technology, so that we can connect
with our Father in heaven, and I must get alone with God in quiet prayer and worship and submission before I can hear His Spirit's voice clearly. I love what Jim Dennison goes on to say about this. He says, solitude does not earn revelation. It positions us to receive what our Father wants to tell us. Sacrifice precedes revelation. So let me just ask you, will we sacrifice our devices for moments at a time so that we can position ourselves to hear from God? If you haven't heard from God in a while, maybe it's because you haven't sacrificed and positioned yourself to hear from Him. In other words, will you choose to disconnect so that you can connect? It's what I believe Jesus would do with a cell phone. It's how Jesus started His day. Very early in the morning, He departs from His friends, a sacrifice. And He goes to a quiet place to pray. And because Hebrews 13 verse 8 tells us this about Jesus, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, if Jesus started His day 2,000 years ago with a sacrifice by disconnecting to connect with God, if Jesus had a cell phone today, how do you think He'd begin His day today? Same way, by departing from His friends for a bit, going to a quiet place where He could disconnect to connect. He would choose to sacrifice some moments connecting via technology so that He could position Himself to hear from His Heavenly Father that day. And yet He didn't stay there. He reconnects with His friends, His close friends, but not necessarily the whole city. Now why? Why wouldn't He reconnect with the whole city and He just would reconnect with his close friends? Well, I think it's because Jesus values relationships. We talked about this last week. We said Jesus tends to go deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer. Jesus had a deep and abiding connection with His 12 disciples, and He had a really strong connection, a deep relationship with His three closest friends, Peter, James, and John. Jesus values deep relationships. Do you? Do I? Or do we just value more and more followers, more and more quote-unquote friends on Facebook? Jesus values deep relationships. That's why He said what He said to His disciples over in John 15. Flip to the right. John chapter 15. He's going to talk about being connected. John 15 is on page 901. Look over at John chapter 15. I want us just to kind of zero in, zone in, focus in on two verses from John chapter 15. And there are four different times He says the word abide. When we hear the word abide, I want you to think deep relational connection. Deep relational connection. Abide in Me. He starts out in verse 4, John 15, 4. Abide in Me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. See, Jesus values relationships with a few because He instructs His friends that He's talking with to abide. The word in the Greek is meno, meno, M-E-N-O, meno. The context for that word abide, meno, means to dwell together, to continue together, to endure together, to remain together, to stand together, to hang out together, in the same room, in the same proximity, in a way that has a depth leading to rootedness, relational rootedness. Check this out. Abide, meno, is not a casual word for surface friends or followers. Abide is a deeply connected word that implies deep heart connection. You can't have that kind of connection through a screen only. You've got to have some physical presence with one another, some table time, some true FaceTime. And I'm not talking about the kind of FaceTime on your mobile device. I'm talking about eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, knee to knee, shoulder to shoulder, meno, abide. And friends, if we're going to be followers of Jesus who connect with others like Jesus did, then we also must become a people who deepen our internal values about relationships. That's the second of the three D's. This series is called Connected 3D. The first of the three D's was disconnect to connect. Here's the second one. Deepen our internal values about relationships. Now, maybe you don't come to church that much. And so when you think of Christians, you think more about what Christians are against than what Christians are for. So if you wandered into church today and that's you and you're sitting there having this conversation about technology with us, you may be thinking, well, of course, Christians are talking against technology. They're against everything. No. If that's what you're hearing, that we're against technology, that we're anti-technology, then man, I need to apologize because I'm doing a poor job trying to communicate. Because it's not that we're against technology, against devices, it's that we're just so pro-relationships. We so value relationships, those deep relationships with the ones who matter the most in our lives, that we want to consider something. We want to consider boundaries in our lives so that we will become relational rivers that are full of direction, full of life, that are going somewhere with our relationships rather than unintentionally becoming a relational swamp that just becomes so spread out, spread so thin and stagnant. I mean, we want to talk about the kind of relationships in our lives that are experiencing the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. That just like Jesus, we begin to go deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer people because we so value real relationships rather than just valuing one more follower or one more friend. This is why we talk about life groups around here so much at Arapahoe Road. This is why we're constantly encouraging, directing, threatening people. You've got to get involved in a life group. Why do we do that? Because those are the people that you'll do life with. Those are the people in the same stages of life as you, as me. If you're in a life group, it's going to be really hard for you to be lonely. Because you're going to have some opportunity to abide with people like Jesus talked about, to mano with people, to connect with people, eyeball to eyeball, relationship to relationship. Men and women, you can't go deeper and deeper in life if all you do is come to worship with a few hundred people. Although I'm glad you do. I'm glad you're here. You're welcome here. Your friends are welcome here. Bring them. Invite them. But men and women, you and I weren't designed just to sit in a big room in rows. We were designed for deep, meaningful relationships. It's something we value around here. Do you? You really weren't just created to sit in rows. You were designed and created rather to sit in a circle so that you can do life with people. Abiding with each other in community. We talk about being in community and on mission. When we talk about being in community, we mean being in community with God the Father through Jesus, His Son, empowered by His Holy Spirit, and then being in community with those who are trying to follow Him And when we're in community with Jesus and with others who are trying to follow him, we're much more likely to be on mission for him. And my fear is that we're getting better and better at ignoring the people in the room and just becoming numb to those in our presence. Friends, that's not how God designed us to connect. I mean, think about it. Let's just have a little public confession here. How many times a day are we in the room with someone and we get a call or a text and we immediately begin to respond to that call or text? Yeah, I do. I do that sometimes. And you know what? When I do that, it sends a message to the person who's in the room that they're not as important as the person who's not in the room. And you know what? I've got to break that habit. Why? Because it's dangerous. Well, what's so dangerous about it? Because it says something about my internal values. And when we become present, when we abide, mano, with the people in the room with us by choice, you know what we're doing? We're beginning to deepen our internal values. Sure, we've all got those times when we've got to take the call, we've got to reply to the text. But man, when that becomes our life pattern, our rhythm, you know what we're becoming? We're becoming a relational swamp. And so it's not about being anti-technology. It's about being pro-deep, real, authentic, abiding in those relationships. So let me just ask you a question to think about, to talk about over lunch today. Don't you want to have an internal value that real relationships matter? I mean, think about this with me. At a deeper level, this is why pornography is not just about morality. Pornography is about reality. And pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry that makes more money than the three major sports of the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. And it's due in part because our mobile devices make it so much more accessible. And folks, it destroys marriages and families. It's not just about morality, it's about reality. Why? Because it chips away at the ability for a man or a woman to have a real relationship with a real person. Because when you begin to value fantasy with someone who's not really there, you begin to devalue reality and the somebody who actually is there. Or maybe who will be there in the future for you, single adult, student. Man, it not only chips away at our holiness before God, it also chips away at our ability to have intimacy with an actual woman if you are a man, or intimacy with a man if you are a woman. It's not just about morality, it's about reality. It's not just that it's bad, it's that pornography is not real. But yet it has real, lasting effects. And as disciples of Jesus, we want to be for real relationships, not fantasy relationships, real relationships. And we want to have this deep internal value that reality and real relationships really do matter to us. Man, we're so messed up in this area that we have to legislate paying attention to others around us as a law if we won't value people intrinsically. You go, what do you mean by that? Well, let me just give you a quick example. Texting and driving. Texting and driving. Did you know that that has become law that you cannot text and drive at the same time in Denton County? Since February, the voters up there have said, yeah, hand out tickets for people who are texting and driving because we value our lives and the lives of the people around us. When you're driving your car at a high rate of speed, it might be a good idea not to look at a screen, but to make sure you know who's around you. It's pretty interesting. Most people don't have a problem with the lawmaker saying it's illegal to drink and drive, but some people have a major problem with lawmakers making it illegal to text and drive. And to me, that's not so much about government taking away freedom. It's more about not being killed by somebody who won't focus on the same road that I'm driving on. Did you know that some research indicates that texting and driving is the equivalent to drinking 5 or 6 beers and then getting behind the wheel as far as how it affects your faculties and the concentration when you drive? And so lawmakers are beginning to think that it might actually help people live and not swerve off the road and run into other people if we put the device in our hands down so that we can instead put our hands at 10 and 2 and keep our eyes on the road. I mean, lawmakers just want those of us driving to be aware and present to other people who are around us. And friends, as disciples of Jesus, we want to be people who are fully present where we are and who we're with. Finally, let me wrap up. We've got to be a people who begin to develop external boundaries. That's the third D of the three Ds. Disconnect to connect, deepen internal values, and develop external boundaries. Develop external boundaries. That as moms and dads, as sons and daughters, as single adults, that we would begin to establish some rules, some limits, some boundaries in our week when we begin to put these devices down so that we could begin to build a rhythm where we actually channel our energies into the proper relationships. And it's beginning to realize that we might need some filters on some computers. That's an external boundary. Did you know that where accountability is high, where accountability flourishes, secret sins begin to die? Why? Because there's an external boundary there. There's an external boundary there. It's beginning to understand and then put into practice that, you know what, it may not be a good idea to sleep next to a device that has access to a portal that can take you anywhere you want to go with one click, an external boundary. Just plug your phone into another room besides the room that you're sleeping in so you can actually get some sleep. Anybody in here just so well rested that they never feel tired? No, me neither. Get some sleep. Plug your phone in the other room where it's not right next to your bed. Mom and dad, grandparents, talking to me here. Just because our kids may understand these devices way better than we do, that doesn't mean that we should then get scared or get lazy and start leaning out of the conversation. On the contrary, it means we got to begin to work harder and parent harder and begin to lean into the conversation more and more. That's part of parenting too, leaning in when it gets out of our league. I mean, we all need external boundaries and filters and checks and balances. And adults understand this better than kids because we've lived longer. We've had more time to feel our consequences. It doesn't mean that kids are bad, that they don't yet understand consequences like adults. It just means that somebody has to be the parent in our kids' lives all the time. Somebody's got to be the grown-up. Mom and dad, that's you. That's me. Grandparent, if you're raising your grandkids, that's you. That may not have been the plan that you thought you were going to live for your life, but you know what? You got to lean in. Don't leave it up to your kids to set their boundaries. You do it. That means we've got to limit their time and our time when technology devices are allowed to be open and on. We've got to establish some quiet periods, technology-free hours at home. Folks, we've got to disconnect to connect. And this isn't about being legalistic. It's about being intentional to go deeper and deeper with those that you value the most. We got to work with them every day, or they're going to crash the hard way. Folks, we all need to develop external boundaries in our lives when it comes to our devices and our technology. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, who are becoming like Jesus, then we too must develop boundaries just like Jesus. Because one day, you and I are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account of our lives. And what I don't want the highlight reel of my life to be is frame after frame of me looking into a screen. No, I want my life to count. I want my life to be seen as having some really deep and authentic relationships with the ones who matter the most to me. And so what we've done today is try to put something really, really practical into your hands. One of our strategic initiatives around here is to help grow strong families. And one of the ways that we can grow strong families is to put resources in your hands that will help you to take what we talk about here and implement them in your own home, because your faith, it doesn't start here, it starts at home. And so every family this morning we'll have an opportunity to pick up one of these connected 3D packets, and on the inside you'll see a little letter from me just encouraging you to lean in here. It's very, very easy to walk through the different resources. There's a connected 3D pamphlet in here that says using technology in a God-honoring way. It'll walk you right through what you need to do. There's some incredible external boundaries that you can begin to develop. There's a great Covenant Eyes filter for your computers. It's free for the next 30 days. It's got a connect or Covenant Eyes code on here, a promo code connected. And man, I'm telling you, these are some great opportunities for you to begin doing something now, not later, now. Do it today. Begin walking through this resource. It'll help you connect with your family. It'll help you connect with older children or teenagers. It's got some resources specifically for that age group. If you've got young kids, there's a young children connected resource specifically for young kids. There's a connected family movie night opportunity in here. There's some tech tips for parents. If you're technologically challenged like I am, man, this is going to be a great one for me. So check that resource out. Connected screen-free fun ideas. You're going, I don't know what to do. I just give them their device and they just leave me alone. Don't let them be alone like that. Let them be alone with you. And here's some ideas of what you can do. Maybe you need to connect with your spouse and you're going, I don't even know what to do. We just go out and look at our phones and then pay a bill and leave. No, there's some great date night opportunities here. There's some great questions about what to do before you buy some devices. Man, it's just loaded with great resources. And one per family today. And man, if you're listening to this online, go to our connected online resource page, arapahoeroad.org. You can click on the connected 3D logo or down under the Growing Strong Family section. And all of these resources are there for you. And we're grateful to our friends at Lake Point for sharing that. That's what the kingdom's about. It's not saying it's mine. It's about saying it's God's, and how can we share? So we want to share that with you. I want to give you a blessing before we leave today. Would you stand with me? And before I do, just know that if I can help you with anything in your walk with Christ, if you've got questions and you need somebody to pray for you, if you want to take a next step in becoming a member of this church, I'm leading our Connect class today, right after the service. Maybe you want to follow Christ in baptism. I'd love to talk with you about that. Or maybe you're ready to find out more about what it means to start in a relationship with Jesus. Come say hello to me at the pastor's coffee. Fill out that little connect card. Hand it to me or leave it in the chair right where you're at. I'd love to follow up with you this morning or this week. But as we go today, would you hold your hands out? Let me give you this blessing. May we be a people who go deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer. May we be a people who choose to disconnect to connect. May we sacrifice some moments online that we could position ourselves to hear from God daily in quiet solitude and prayer. May we be a people who deeply value relationships. May we begin to develop some external boundaries on our technology so that we're not so connected that we never really connect with the ones who matter the most. May we be followers of Jesus who do what it takes to be a river with boundaries that's headed somewhere full of life rather than a relational swamp that's thin and shallow and not really going anywhere. May we connect wisely with others through technology, but not only through technology, because real abiding relationships matter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.